Okay. First, we'll do introductions. We'll go around the table.
That's the problem.
Dean Norville, City Council.
Dean Sawyer, City Council.
David Allen, City Council.
To be clear, Mark Salem, Harrison City Councilor.
Laura Swanson, City Council.
Sandy Murugu, Mayor.
Wendy Engler, City Council.
Bill Hall, County Commission.
And Terry Thompson, County Commission. And Doug is at our insurance company conference, if I remember right.
Yep, City and County Insurance Services.
He's a representative. And so I think you guys are in that.
Yep.
If you've got questions, he's the guy to talk to on that one. Okay, the first one is the Stepping Up program, and it looks like, Bill Hall, you're going to do it.
Okay, I'll give you a very brief outline of what Stepping Up is all about. If you have any questions, be glad to answer them, and if not, go on to the next item. Stepping Up is a national initiative designed to reduce the number of people with mental illness involved in the criminal justice system. It's estimated nationally that we've got 2 million people who are behind bars in prisons and jails, primarily due to mental illness. Right here in our jail, which has 161 beds, our inmate counselor estimates that at any time, 30% of that number have been diagnosed with mental illness, and about one-third of that group have a serious and persistent mental illness. So the partners in this initiative are the National Association of Counties, the Council of State Governments, and the American Psychiatric Association. So why is it important to try and reduce the number of people in the system? They get stuck in the system, they don't get the help they need, and there's pretty strong data that shows that incarcerating them really doesn't make the community any safer. So the first step for a county to become a Stepping Up county is to adopt a resolution. So far, more than 300 counties in the United States, representing 42 states, about 35% of the total population of the U.S., have done that. 12 of the 36 counties in Oregon have done that, including Lincoln. We adopted our resolution last October. The very first effort that we're making under Stepping Up is the sheriff and our community corrections director have made a commitment to bring mental health first aid training to all of their staff this year. Mental health first aid is really a companion in some ways to standard first aid, but it's a one-day, eight-hour training that teaches people the basics of how to recognize when somebody is experiencing a mental health crisis and how to either stay with them until the crisis passes or to summon proper help for them. Now, there is specialized mental health training for law enforcement called crisis intervention training. The training at the State Police Academy now incorporates that, but the goal is still hopefully to encourage as many active duty law enforcement folks to get that training as well. And the sheriff is going to bring another training to Lincoln County in the fall of this year. But the thought was mental health first aid is something directly beneficial. There's lots of data showing that officers who have this are better equipped to deal with these kind of situations. So where do we go from there? Counties are encouraged to conduct an exercise called sequential intercept mapping, SIM for short. Basically, it's a process map. You look at every point where someone with mental illness can encounter the justice system, and the idea is to get them diverted at the earliest practical point. That's a day and a half exercise. Hopefully, we're going to find out within the month whether or not we're selected to have a professional facilitator come out from the East who has training in conducting this. And the goal is to get all the key folks in public safety and behavioral health together, really do a comprehensive mapping of the system, see what assets we have, see what needs we have to be filled, and come up with a logical plan to try and meet those needs. Because bottom line, you know, I've talked to, I've visited a lot of communities that have done this. The biggest benefit I hear they say immediately is getting better alignment between public safety and behavioral health. But, you know, ultimately, long-term, to get the results you want, you need more resources. There was a statewide survey last year just looking at the one-quarter of the population covered by Oregon Health Plan, Medicaid. We've got about one quarter of the mental health treatment capacity we need in this state. So if you, for those folks, so if you hear about people not being able to access mental health services, that's why. So that is the initiative in a quick nutshell.
Any questions, Evan? Seeing none, we'll move down to the next item. County Land Trust, affordable housing. I'll let Wayne go first on this one.
And we did discuss this yesterday at the council work session, so I don't know, maybe if you have any specific questions and follow-up at this point, or...
And I was going to talk about the affordable housing side of things.
Okay.
I would just say that the outstanding issue right now, as you know, there's a memorandum of understanding that the Land Trust has with the county, the city of Lincoln City, and the city of Newport. It was a three-year MOU, $30,000 per year per each jurisdiction. We're in the final year, and the council had the work session yesterday and invited Diane Lynn from Proud Ground to give an update because the council still has not authorized the final $30,000 payment for this current fiscal year, which is the final year of the three-year MOU. Based on that discussion yesterday and the information we had received, we're going to have this as a discussion and action item at our next city council meeting on March 6th. So, Bill, obviously you and Diane are invited to be there to, in case you want to present any further testimony or input. And that's procedurally what we're planning on doing, just so the county knows as far as what our plans are, since the county is a party to that MOU. And that's really all I wanted to say. I'm sure all the council members
Wayne, do you have any? And could I pass around one handout just for everybody that I shared? David, you sent me the...
I forwarded that.
Yeah.
That
and
email.
This is from Proud Ground's site, some of the partners and funders that they have. And one
Proud Ground.
Yeah, that I did have with Diane is that we really do need to, you know, we've made some outreach efforts through the years, but that as part of the path to sustainability after the MOU, that we really have to ramp this up and ramp it up quickly.
And so, you know, I sent you a link today, Bill, that someone had forwarded to me on the council showing how another community land trust up in Seattle, showing how they have partnered with both private and public entities, just so you have as an example what might be possible here to some extent along those lines. And I know, Wendy, thanks for forwarding that that link, because I think it was really good to share that with folks.
Would you want to share it?
I forwarded to everyone on the council.
Okay. Bill and Wayne, you're going to discuss the commons. Which one of you guys want to go on this one?
Wayne, do you want to start on?
Unless there's other questions on affordable housing.
I didn't want to pick up on it.
We can talk a little bit about affordable housing.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we kind of... Segue into affordable housing.
I just want to talk about the land trust procedure. That's
and between Spencer, Derek, and I, you know, we've been discussing this from a management standpoint for some time.
It's yours, but...
Oh, thank you. Anyway, so, you know, we had actually convened a group of representatives from all the entities in Lincoln County. There were city councilors, mayors, staff people, ranging from planners to managers to attorneys, that had gathered, and we talked about what are the things that we can do to address affordable housing, actually address a number of housing issues as an entire community.
And
looking at it,
last January.
Well, there was one in January.
Well, this was
summer.
And growing out of that, we had authorized the Economic Development Alliance in Lincoln County to do some work for us to try and convene some very some subgroups to discuss things that we could do, ideas, tools that we might develop and utilize throughout the county, as well as looking at some of the individual projects or activities that occur within each of the jurisdictions. And the Economic Development Alliance has been meeting with some of the groups, and we were just getting a report on that from Caroline. The planners have been meeting and talking about things. We managers have met a little bit and talked about things here and there. The attorneys have not yet met, but we want to get together and talk about some of the tools that are there. But we think it's time for a check-in back with the entire group here, reconvene the entire group and talk about what progress has been made, what kinds of things might be available to the communities, And then what the next steps might be. And I'll turn it to Spencer now, because I think we were talking maybe back in April, we'll come back in April with some of that stuff.
I think the thought was that we would convene the elected officials back together in April to kind of see exactly where we're at. One of the goals that was discussed with the whole housing issue is there'd be certainly some leverage and some I think power and some ability to kind of sell these concepts to potential developers if there was kind of a consistent theme throughout Lincoln County, whether you're in Newport or Lincoln City or Walport, on what tools are available in order to promote workforce housing and affordable housing in the county. And so I think that's still a really good and strong goal for us to take a look at trying to accomplish, because again, our markets are so small here compared to dealing with the the affordable housing programs that are in Bend and Portland and in Salem. We've all seen those programs. Our population as a base is quite a bit smaller. So if we could have kind of a more singular voice on this issue from Lincoln County, I think it may be more attractive to developers in working with us, whether that's here in Newport or in any of the other cities or in the county for these projects. So that's kind of our long-term goal, is to try to get everyone on the same page to the extent possible. The other thing is there's some taxing options that can promote housing as well. It would really take for the biggest bang, it would take the full cooperation of all the taxing districts to participate in those programs, including the county, including the city, including some of the other taxing jurisdictions. And if we could get some buy-in to that process, again, we could speak with one voice and assure folks how these things are going to go forward in the future. And right now, we can't really do that because we don't have those common agreements. It's kind of a case-by-case issue that we do on any of these projects.
I do think that the mayors of Lincoln County, which are 7 of, would really buy into that. With the meetings that we have every couple of months, housing always starts out, and we can't do it alone. We're going to duplicate one another. We're going to be after the same pot of money. And there just has to be a more regional approach. That's our opinion.
One of the things that we were hoping to do is that we've been getting information about Benton County's efforts. They'd actually formed a housing council that actually has a number of public and private partners that do it. And they've got some specific projects they've done. And in fact, they were saying they were almost too focused in on projects. And now they want to look at the bigger picture and doing some kinds of things in there. And I know that the managers group, all the city managers meet, and I meet with them on a monthly basis, and we're going to try and have the director of that particular program. We hope to have him at our last meeting, couldn't make it, but at our next meeting, come out and talk to us about their model and what they've been able to accomplish and how the structure might assist us in putting together plans and tools for what we want to do.
So, Spencer, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When you're applying to those grants, I don't do affordable housing usually, but right now average housing cost is over $500,000 in Portland and San Francisco. It's over $1 million, and our housing costs are a lot cheaper. Yet the building supplies cost basically the same. So the land value and what the market will bear is a big factor. How do we compete in a grant when we're so far under what the rental costs are in places like that?
I think one of the big issues is a lot of the state programs that are available to assist in financing housing, have been geared towards the bigger urban areas. There is an effort to scale that back a bit so that smaller projects may work. We had that discussion. I think yesterday there was some discussion on that as well. And I think the key thing is, on a legislative standpoint, is these projects really need to be scalable so that a small community can do a smaller project and still compete for some of the available programs that can help reduce the cost of these programs. So, you know, there's no magic answer for it other than, you know, I think continuing to talk to our legislators about making sure these are scalable projects and that rural Oregon can benefit from it as much as the urban areas.
You had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the property tax exemption options, we're currently working them through our planning commission, so by the time April comes around, we should have those fairly well vetted, so you can take a look at them. As Spencer mentioned, property tax exemption would be a lot stronger if we had a city-county partnership in that regard. We'll also have, and we're currently working on, the construction excise tax for affordable housing, and we're kind of playing with that and how it might interplay with our system development charges, and we'll have some information in that regard as well.
Thank you. Any last comments? We'll move. Bill, you want to...
So Wayne, I think he's prepared.
Yeah, I'm prepared to talk about
if there's questions.
What I can start off with is the fact that we participated actually as the county's representative on that Newport's 2040 Visioning Committee. It was interesting in the last weekend to have the series of meetings that we had with first the stakeholders that are city advisory folks and then on city committees, and then the family night on Friday night, and then the big event kickoff event on Saturday. I got the pleasure really of sitting back in sort of a corner, a little alcove, especially on Saturday, with a number of projects that are going on in the greater Newport area. And it was pretty impressive to see the array. You know, started at one end looking at the port and its activities, going to PMEC with the grant that they've got in order to do the grid-connected test site for wave energy. Next to that was the hospital and their plans. Then came the Performing Arts Center and their capital campaign. And some of the county projects, we're going to talk about a couple of those, the Commons and the Integrated Wellness Center. And then, of course, the Marine Studies Initiative. And it was like an array of things that's sitting there that are activities that are currently underway right now. And one of the kind of common themes and where we are with the Commons right now is the first thing you got to do is you got to do your planning. And so we have done a request for proposals and gotten a response, and we're now negotiating a contract with Kogan & Associates and LRS Architects, who are both very involved in kind of two facets. Kogan & Associates does a lot of what I'll call stakeholder public outreach. And they're they're doing some stuff with the City of Lincoln City right now, but they do things all over the state of Oregon. And they gave us a proposal with some, in fact, one of the more robust proposals I've seen for stakeholder involvement to talk about what do we want to see the future look like for redevelopment of the Commons, home of the Lincoln County Fair. Get that correct moniker out there right now. And then LRS Architects is a firm that's developed and designed a number of these facilities throughout the state. And they're teaming together with their proposal to us. And as I was indicating, one of the things that we were reviewing is, I want to thank both Derek and Spencer for their assistance in review of the RFP, the proposal that came back through. They gave us some great input on things we want to, scoping the actual end product, the deliverables on this, that's helping us in terms of our negotiations with them. But they had such a robust process and that number of meetings, and one of the first things we wanted to do is scale that back. We've already done a lot of work out at the Fairgrounds and the Commons, but we need to now refine it and define it and see specifically what that translates into for projects that we're going to do. So we're working on that right now. For the city, I think it's important to note that you're going to be involved in three different levels with this. First, as the staff itself will be very involved, because obviously this facility and the grounds are located in the city of Newport. So we've got to work very closely with both Spencer as the city manager, Derek as the planner, and then bringing in Tim Gross as public works, because we're going to have to talk about the infrastructure around the site out there and improvements that need to occur out there in addition to the facilities we're going to develop. Second will be that we're looking to partner, obviously, with the city through urban renewal and the funds there. So you'll have involvement with in your capacity as the governing body for urban renewal and participating in our designs and what we're looking at for doing there. But then, of course, we're going to invite people, because you're members of the greater Lincoln County community. We're inviting community members to be involved in the process here and to help us with making the decisions we have to make. I want to note that part of, in addition to the kind of really robust public participation we're doing here. One of the key components that's part of this plan, the refinement we want to do, and what we have been really kind of articulating, I think, from the front end of this process is it's easy to build something. We all know that. It's actually simpler in many ways to build a facility than it is to maintain and operate it. And one of the key elements of this particular plan, what will come out of this, and what we've been working very hard to do is to put together a business plan that says once these facilities are developed, how do you operate them? What is that, going to look like? Public partnership, private partnership, public management. How is that going to work? And that's going to be a key component. The other thing that's going to come out of this that's very important to us is the timing of when these improvements take place. Because, again, we're talking about multiple pots of money that come together to make this work. And that's going to take multiple schedules for when that money will be available. So that's where we are right now. We're going to be inviting you, to assist us in this process as we go along and hope that you will participate.
Any other comment?
Question.
Yeah.
Derek, remind us, how much has been set aside or allocated in the river renewal plan for the use of funds for this facility?
Ballpark figure was about $3 million, I believe.
That's potential use.
Potential use,
it's in the plan, but obviously it still needs further authorization, but that's what's been set aside, $3
million. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe just a note along that lines, though, that one of the things Urban Renewal does bring to the table, too, and that we will discuss with you, is obviously this is not just the grounds, the footprint of the grounds itself, but it's also the infrastructure. We're talking things like improvements to Harney Street, sewer and water and the capacities that are out there, storm drainage, those things. So it's also part of the development of that entire area and part of your urban renewal plan. It'll extend beyond the boundaries and the footprints of the fairgrounds itself.
The Newport Vision 2040 people at the table I was at had a lot of ideas for the commons, like the skateboard park, community recreation, that kind of thing. Is that anywhere within the scope of what you might consider, or do you have a pretty...
Well, I can say this. I think based on the previous public input, the kind of centerpiece for the redevelopment of the property will be the pavilion or exhibition space. And there's a lot of discussion still has to occur as to what how big that is, what amenities will be included in that. But there's some possibility for addressing some of those, especially some of the things like recreation, within the scope of what the design looks like for that facility. And then, of course, it's the rest of the grounds, too. So, yes, there'll be opportunities.
Okay, we'll move down to the Sheriff's Office update.
Thank you, Commissioner. First off, I'm Adam Shanks. I'm the Administrative Lieutenant with the Sheriff's Office. I'm here on behalf of Sheriff Landers tonight. He was unable to attend. He's actually over at a newly developed training conference in Salem hosted by the Oregon State Sheriff's Association called the Sheriff's Institute. It's for newly appointed or elected sheriffs. So I spoke with him earlier this afternoon. He's enjoying it and said that he's receiving quite a bit of good information that he's ready to bring back and put into motion. So we'll see how that looks when he gets back. But regarding facilities in the Sheriff's Office, currently we're just starting into a process to remodel the jail's reception area. The whole goal behind that is increasing the secure space outward into the existing jail lobby. It's going to increase safety for our staff that are working in the facility, as well as increase the service that we can provide to our citizens as they do business inside that facility. So that's an ongoing project. I believe there is a completion date goal of June 30th, if I remember right. I don't know if we're going to meet that mark or not, but that's the goal at this point, and I know they're very much looking forward to that. It's been a long time coming. It'll also increase storage space that we desperately need in that facility as well. So other new building that we recently have come to near completion on, if any of you have been up Northeast 7th Street past the fairgrounds and our fleet services buildings and the animal shelter, is our new search and rescue building that we were able to fund with private donations as well as Title III monies. And I don't know if Wayne, you want to explain what those are specifically, or
dedicated monies.
How's that? Perfect. Sounds good to me. So that's a 4,200 square foot building. 3,200 square feet of that is open bay. The purpose of it was to provide a facility for us to put all of our resources in. We have several command trailer type vehicles, equipment vehicles, then ATVs and things that we use for our search and rescue missions around Lincoln County. And we've had those spread all over the place and have never had one co-located spot that we could put our sort of deteriorating in our coastal weather, of course. So this building has been a huge benefit for us. We're very excited about it. In addition to the base space, we do have a small office in there that we are able to, the next phase will be to bring technology into it, data and phone lines for workstations. The initial setup will be for 5 workstations that we can work out of there if we need it. And there's also 2 very large bathrooms with equipped with showers. So that building we'll also try to use for some training space for our office as well, and also our partnering agency. So we're looking forward to that and seeing how we can utilize that to the best of our ability to increase the services we provide. Other than that, we've opened or we have upgraded our office out in the city of Siletz, relating to our Siletz Enhanced Patrol contract that we have out there for the district. So we've got a computer and phone and communications out there, so it keeps our deputies out in the district and out in the field away from the sheriff's office here in Newport, and gives extra patrol time for our citizens out in that district. We've also upgraded our technology in our north office. Depot Bay Fire provides space for us up in their Glendon Beach Fire Hall. We've done the same there that we did in Siletz, and also in our contract city down in the city of Walport. Just basically to bring us up to, you know, upgraded computers and communications down there. So, again, it's the whole goal is to keep our patrol deputies out in their districts and not having to return to Newport to do some of their primary functions of report writing and things like that. So we're excited about that. Programs that we currently have going. The animal shelter is participating in a volunteer fair held here at the Shiloh Inn on March 25th that I think it's sponsored by Lincoln County and by several nonprofit organizations in the area. We've had success with this. We attended this last year. I was told that it was well attended. Our animal shelter currently has about 80 volunteers working for them, caring for our animals, and they're looking to increase that number. So they're excited to focus on that project coming up. And other than that, we are, as with many law enforcement agencies across the state, trying to hire people right now. Over the last year, to give you an idea, we have 17, a lot of patrol deputies between our general fund and our contractual services with the city of Walport and the Siletz district. Over the last year, we hired 8 patrol deputies out of that number, and we have 4 more to hire. So that's been a constant battle. With that, we too will be participating in some upcoming events here locally at Oregon Coast Community College. They're doing a job fair there coming up in the next 2 months, as well as the Lincoln County School District. We're going to try to combine and participate with them as partners. They're trying to hire teachers at the same time we're trying to hire law enforcement. So we're going to partner with them on a day event coming up in April and see if we see any benefit out of that. I'm trying to get interested people in law enforcement from that. And then the big one is a 2-day event at the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training in Salem. They hold a job fair as well, back-to-back days. Just to give you guys an idea, and Chief Malloy, if you can correct or confirm my numbers, over the next 3 years or so, I think it is, that across the state of Oregon, they're looking at needing to replace over 1,000 police officers. And so that's a hiring issue that many police agencies are affected by, not just us, but we're all battling for those same bodies and trying to draw them into our communities. So we'll be putting on our best face and showing them what Lincoln County is about, and hopefully they find us attractive and want to come work here in our county. So.
Yeah, just on that particular issue, Chief Malloy proudly indicated that we were fully staffed at our goal setting session, and literally the next day we had a resignation. So anyway, it was a brief moment of being fully staffed,
we don't talk about that anymore.
No, we probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
You'd be happy with 24 hours of full staff. Take what you can get.
on that issue of filling positions, Chief Malloy mentioned about how the numbers of applicants has decreased over the years as far as the pool of applicants. But are you finding here on the coast that to be more pronounced versus perhaps in some of the higher populated areas? Or is this really an issue that's really happening across the board, whether it's a rural area or an urban area, just the lack of applicants and the issue of filling positions?
Let's see. It's a good question. We certainly feel the squeeze on that exact issue, but speaking with our colleagues over in the Valley areas, or the Portland metro area, if you will, everyone's feeling it just at different levels, right? Yeah. So where we, once upon a time, were excited because we'd have 150 plus applicants for a position, we don't see that anywhere near that anymore. Mm. Portland may have seen 1,000, and they're probably down to 500. So it's I think it's all relative, regardless of where you're at.
Right.
But again, we're finding the right personalities and the right people that want to be in this coastal environment, and we're trying to tap into our local resources, our local residents, to try to find, get interest in them, or that, you know, bring their interest toward law enforcement, so we can try to find more local people. We've had good success with that. I'm an example. I grew up here. I'm a high school alum of Newport, and we have several within the sheriff's office that follow that same path. So we're trying to find a way to tap back into that, bring interest back toward our career. And we know that the benefit of hiring local people is that they already appreciate and want to be in this area. Yeah. And that's the whole goal that we're trying to focus on.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to move forward. Ambulance service.
So that's an issue that Fire Chief Rob Murphy's requested be on the agenda. So Rob, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners and Council, the reason I asked to bring it up, since probably about September, fire chiefs in the county have noticed some issues with Pacific West Ambulance and their response, particularly long response times. They've also struggled with staffing shortages, and there have often been times when what would be their normal staffing levels, they couldn't do, they just didn't have either the people, or they had people out sick, or whatever reason, they didn't have personnel to staff
Sorry.
Their number of units.
Sorry.
Apology maker was turned off.
The machine said sorry, then Mark said sorry.
They both said sorry.
I wondered Mark would call.
So we know that in particular, Pacific West Ambulance has struggled, especially in the Lincoln City area, with their response times and making their what's required of them through the SA plan. We do know that they've recently gone through some leadership changes. They have a new general manager, and who I've met, and had a very good meeting with him and his boss, Larry Boxman. And I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing, and I'm hopeful that I know they want to turn that around, and they've been doing a lot of work within their organization to, you know, bolster their ranks and just create a better culture within that company. You know, it's hard when you're dealing with a private company that deals with public safety. They're really the only entity like it. You know, we know that they have the franchise agreement for the county. We do work very well with them on day-to-day operations, and like I said, I think, you know, within our administration, we work fairly well with them. We want to work well with them. I think one of the keys, you know, in the past few years, in the whole ambulance service, you know, issue that's come up is that I think with the new ambulance service review committee that they have really made strides in trying to create some better oversight, and I appreciate that, and we've noticed that. And I would, as you know, the chair and the first responder position for ASA 3, Chief Mock from Siletz, had to resign from the commission recently, and I think in his resignation letter, he spoke to that the county's continued interest and attention to that is key in keeping the pre-hospital system healthy and providing the service that, you know, I think our citizens expect to have. And so the last thing I'll say to that is that there is an opening in that, and ASA is also, ASA 3 is also our, the ASA that we're in Newport, that if I have a member of my staff, not me, but a member of my staff, Captain Tom Jackson, who's my EMS coordinator and paramedic, and I think would be a good person to put on that. And so if you'd like a letter from me to nominate him for that, I'd be happy to do that.
That's the procedure, right, Wayne? Just a letter of nomination, or do we have a form that needs to be filled out? Or?
I need to review that to see. I think that is the procedure, but I got to see what the involvement is from the ASRC as a committee, too. Okay. You may want to get some endorsement.
Please.
Since you and I served on that, I was appointed by the county on the old ambulance service review committee. I'm really glad to hear that that's been reinstated.
Yes.
And how is it different from the old one?
Well, I think, I don't know if you want to speak to that or you want me to speak. I'm not on the committee, so.
Okay.
I just a little bit from the county perspective. I think that one of the keys was defining again what the roles were of the committee, making sure everybody understood that. I think that's occurring very well. I'd actually agree with the chief that what's happening now is a lot better. I think having the involvement of all the providers, the first responders, has been really good, and that participation has been helpful. Also, I think we've got more robust staff. Okay. From the county perspective, we've got people that are getting more involved in this and making sure there's a support for the activities. Probably the biggest difficulty, and I would agree with the chief too, that you know, we've now moved to a situation where, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever the case might be, we have basically two service providers in the entire county, and one of those just covers a very small area down South County in Yawhants, and otherwise it is the private provider that provides all other ambulance services here, and there has been changes in their management, and I hadn't actually heard the new managers. I'm glad to hear, Chief, that you've met with the new managers now, because that was disconcerting too. That they seem to rotate through managers fairly quickly over the last few years in their organization. So I think that it's important that the information be passed up from the ASRC to the board.
Yes.
To the extent that we as first responders and responsible for the first responders can pass that information through and have discussions with the provider, we'll do that. I do think that I wanted to make one comment that I've actually been in discussions with some of the representatives from Celeste, and there is something indicative there, because this is actually the second ambulance, or second rural fire protection district that's been experiencing some financial difficulties. We went through this with Central Coast. Central Coast, gave up their ambulance service, kind of retrenched, got some additional funding, but retrenched in terms of the services they're providing. But this is a common theme that seems to be coming, especially from the rural districts, and that's that, they're not having the resources available even to do some of their basic functions, and it's creating some issues in there. So to the extent, I know there was discussions before between the various districts about where you can share resources, share activities, do those kinds of things. I think those discussions might start up again. With things that are occurring in some of the other districts out there. So,
good questions.
For our service district, when does the county have to review the provider for purposes of?
We just did a full robust.
Just finished that.
Yeah, so they're on a 5-year.
They're on a 5-year now,
yeah.
For this.
Okay. And that just started.
Okay.
I just had a quick question. Some of your firefighters talked to me about the Salem model, where the Salem Fire has kind of a little oversight of the ambulance there. Do you think that that's a model that we might want to look at, or is that?
Well, you see, the difficult thing, the difference between Salem is that their ASA, if you will, is for basically the city of Salem. Right. The ASA 3 is a unique ASA in the county, in that we encompass all of Newport and Newport Rural Fire Protection District, Toledo and the Toledo Rural Fire Protection District, Celeste and Celeste Rural Fire Protection District, and all of the unprotected area all the way to the county line. It's a very large area. So to just have something run by the city, we would also be responsible for all of that. And Spencer and I had talked about that, you know, when this came up, and we just had a hard time seeing how that would fit in within, you know, what we do as a city. But then be responsible for geographically probably about a quarter, at least, if not a third, geographically of the county.
Right. So we're not going to solve this problem here tonight. If it needs more work, you're welcome to come back to the Board of Commissioners or Council, or we can work together in some form. So we'll move forward now to healthcare, education, and facilities and programs.
Cheryl's not here, but
yeah, and I'm going to apologize. Cheryl Connell was supposed to be here, our director, but she had a family situation that she couldn't make it. So I'm not a great person to talk about all the services that are done, but I can talk a little bit about the facilities. I think that may be the important thing. And one of the things that's on tap that we're looking at is what we're calling an integrated wellness center for the county. And this would be a facility that basically combines where we're currently scattered in four different, actually more than four, but four basic sites throughout the city of Newport for the services that we provide through Health and Human Services. And those things include the Lincoln Community Health Center, which is our federally qualified health center, providing primary health care to actually several thousand people within the county. It's our behavioral health program, which is mental health, addictions, intellectual and development, disability services, those kinds of activities. Public health, which includes but is not limited to communicable disease activities, maternal child health, the women's infant and children WIC program, environmental health. It's kind of the catch-all immunization that catches all the other public health responsibilities that we have. And then, of course, we have our veteran services. We've actually contract with the Veterans Administration to provide health services for veterans in Lincoln County, and actually beyond Lincoln County a little bit, the borders there. So this would be combining, the facility we're looking at would combine all those services into a single integrated site. Ms. Connell gave a great presentation last week to the Board of Commissioners, and if you're interested in finding some of the justifications and reasons for that, I'd really commend you to listen to that board meeting, the segment that she has on there. That is on our website at www.co.lincoln.or.us, and you can hear her justifications for why this is happening. What we're looking at doing is...
2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry?
2 weeks ago.
That she did the presentation. So what we're looking at doing is putting together this center. It would be located on the southern part of the county courthouse grounds there. It would entail, when this is built, removing the current public service, what we call the public service building, which houses our planning department, finance personnel, and then our maintenance shops in there. Those would be available then for future parking. We do that. This would sit on kind of the southern corner across from
post office.
Thank you. Which one that was. About up to 45,000 square feet. We're pulling all these leased and other facilities where health and human services are. Planning, finance, our other services would go into what's currently the Knight Street, Lee Street complex across from the jail. That'll free up all that space in there because they'll be consolidating into the new facility. And that'll be available for other county services that we have out there. The way we're looking at doing this is through a program through Rural Development, RD, part of the Department of Agriculture. They actually we've been pre-approved for funding. We've gone through a pretty extensive application process, and we're continuing to gather a great deal of financial information and otherwise. We will not be going out for a bond. This will be actually paid for with current county resources. The way they do it is they have an incredible loan program, basically, that allows us to finance this full faith and credit of the county for 30 or 40 years, whatever we decide to do with that, and then pay as we go for doing that. So that's kind of the nutshell.
Let me mention something on this program, that we pay a tremendous amount of money in rent, and that's what's the bulk of it. We're already paying that money out. Now we just consolidate into one facility, which gives you a better format. There's cost efficiency when you can bring it into one area, and especially a new modern building with cheaper electricity and stuff. And the pencil out looks pretty good.
Yeah, we own that building on 9th Street. I'm sorry, but I was going to say, yeah, the 1010 building, the whole floor of that. And we're renting a big chunk of the Western Title building.
Most of the Western
Title. But as far as programs for the health department, if you have time in a commission, you see where you have some space. If you were to give them 20 minutes and bring over part of the staff, they'll give you a real good presentation on the program area. So,
what kind of interest is though? Is that already going to be probably?
Well, we're not. That's not locked in yet. Okay. But I think it'll be. Right now, it's better than anything you can get out there on any other market. It's you know, it could be somewhere between 3% and 4%. It could be less. I don't know, but that's not set yet.
Okay, I'm going to move.
Go ahead.
This is. You said you're going to consolidate, but do you have any idea how to fill the spaces that are going to be vacated? Is there a need for
some of those additional space? Down.
Pardon me?
Some of the, if you look at the plan, and we should have a plan rather than try to describe it here, because things like planning office could be moved and torn down, and
right.
The maintenance shop, and so they'd go away, and we'd move them to a new, to one of our other existing facilities.
And a lot of this is already leased space. It's leased space for moving out into a county facility.
Into, so yeah, we'll be, what I'm saying, as a city, we those spaces would become vacant, and who would occupy those spaces? It just
that's,
be that, spaces.
They're private spaces.
That's
and
not,
they
that's
have
not your concern. Yeah,
no, in that sense, it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe architectural. It sounds like a remodeling job for me. Okay, we'll move down to. The need for an urban service area agreement in South Beach. Who put that on, or what?
I think Derek did.
Yeah. Yes. So I think, you know, one of the things that our council's been pretty clear about is a desire to kind of normalize the city's jurisdictional boundaries in South Beach. We have a lot of unincorporated pockets that are surrounded by the city. And we really don't have an urban service area agreement, although I believe we were legally supposed to have one where you know, there's kind of a coordinated transition of those lands from the county to the city. And that's something we'd like to work with you guys on. That's really what that's about.
No, I think that's a very good idea. We don't disagree with that at all. You know, urban growth management agreements, we've got a fairly simple one that we have in Toledo. But that's an also an easier, there's not that much land that's outside the city limits and inside the urban growth boundary. And probably the most complex area other than Devil's Lake and Lincoln City in terms of issues and things that we have to deal with would be that South Beach area. So I agree that this is something we should sit down and figure out. And it's a very interesting mishmash of where the boundaries are, where services are. And I know during my time here at least, I know we had some issues. You know, the county was luckily not directly involved, but with annexation of things, with you have another water district that provides services within the urban growth boundary. So there may be multiple partners we've got to look at here.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because we do need to bring Seal Rock in. We addressed that for lands that had been annexed by the city, but there are still folks in the unincorporated areas that are paying Seal Rock Water District for services they no longer receive from Seal Rock.
Right.
So.
Well, we're not opposed to discussion, I don't think, in commissioners at all. We're happy to participate, but there's a lot of maps and things that need brought out. I know that, especially if ODOT and the latest maps they have of what they want to see come will play into that and how we're going to be able to move that traffic around.
So, Terry, just quick clarification. So, I know, you know, you got the city limits and then it moves into the county jurisdiction out to the urban growth boundary. Are you talking about not that segment of property, but the properties that the county owns within areas that the city kind of surrounds the county? I mean, are we talking about both types of properties?
Both.
Okay. Because I know they're different
there
issues with
different elements of the plan that address different properties.
But it'll be comprehensive, including out to the urban growth boundary as well.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to move forward then to parking.
Parking is probably an update of our parking studies that are going on.
Is it? Okay.
There you go. Two in a row that said wait in Belmont, and Derek gets to do them.
Yeah, I like that.
Or was parking yours?
Yeah.
No. Unless I can just
that's
my
right
own
here.
Personal Belmont. You know, we acquired new property. We built a new parking lot behind the the attorney's office, Minor Bandona's office, you know, over here just across from the courthouse, and I still don't have a reserve spot. What happened to that?
Well, you know, we have an advisory committee and a consultant that's assisting us putting together a parking study for Bayfront, City Center, and Nine Beach areas. The work's been ongoing for some time now. They've done actually a couple of different field sets of field data collection to get a good handle on peak and off peak utilization and turnover rates. One of the recommendations that's likely to come out of this is a recommendation to meter the Bayfront, possibly parts of Long Beach. As part of that, there would be a permit parking to address the fishermen's needs. So,
and are you going to address the increased fleet size that can happen in this port too? In this, I mean,
well, we're working the Port of Newport is part of that advisory committee. We're working collaboratively with on this, and so we're gonna look, you know, look carefully at that to make sure that the fleet's needs are addressed as part of this. And I think that's where the permit parking goes, where they would basically get a permit that would allow them to park down there, irrespective of the metering. And then we would lift the off-street parking requirements that, frankly, none of the businesses can meet down there because there's no room for that purpose. The port's been, you know, has some. There are a number of concepts for potential future capital projects that can be at least partially funded with meter revenues, and I would suspect the meter revenues would be rather substantial given what we're talking about in terms of volumes of traffic. And so that's all going to be set out in a study that should be wrapping up towards the end of the fiscal year. The consultant got a little bit behind, and that's why we haven't had an advisory committee for a little bit.
Just a recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
At this point, yes, to make sure that's clear.
I We're caution not you rather than just talk to the port, that you need to talk to the fleet, because I promise you that it's going to be very, very explosive.
That's why I said it's just in the... I've heard of it right now, too, so
yeah, I'm
just
saying it's a recommendation. Oof. Because, I mean, that's the most valuable piece of property in all of Lincoln County, so dollar-wise. And they're the biggest producers in that fleet. And not just a discussion with the port. It's got to be with the fleet itself.
Yeah, we do have Gary Ripka, for example, as a member of the advisory committee. We have, you know, we do have the processing representative.
He's a movie star now. Yeah. He's a New Yorker now.
He's standing here in a parking place. Problems take national.
No, I guess it would be.
I take your point.
I'll be on the side of it about that.
Instead of a parking permit for you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask about the parking office and put in at Nine Beach where the old dry cleaners used to stand.
Yeah.
What's happening with that? It's still blocked off. Nobody uses it.
Yeah, that parking lot actually provides parking for the tap house, which we're probably going to be issuing a temporary occupancy permit on that within the next week.
Oh. And you want to be open this weekend, I hear.
Yeah, I'm always cautious because I know he's working towards that, and hopefully that, you know, that happens. But so that's what that parking lot is for.
Any other questions? Because parking is a problem. It doesn't make any difference where you are. If you get an opportunity to increase the parking on citizens of the city of Salem because of the parking costs that have been added up around the Capitol building, it's okay with me.
What about parking when you build on the parking lot at the county building now?
Yeah, our architects have been in discussion with Derek and the folks here. In terms of seeing what the requirements are there. You know, and I can say, I would say this, we're cognizant of the fact that we'll meet requirements, but that doesn't necessarily solve issues. You know, that obviously when we're doing new construction, and you think, you know, just take the city center as an example there with what's going to be going on with the new swimming pool, add on the hospital, add on the new county buildings that may occur in that area. You know, that sort of central core is going to have a lot of activity going on out there. And so, you know, we are very willing to be part of the discussion, you know, in terms of parking and what might serve multiple uses, multiple parties out there. And we'll be looking at that more than just meeting the code requirements. You know, that we see it as more than that. So we look forward to actually seeing the studies and seeing, you know, the options and opportunities. And I think, if I'm not wrong, that parking is actually part of what you can do with urban renewal, and this is all part of the area, at least that part of it's in urban renewal, and parking may be one of the issues that's addressed through urban renewal.
That's certainly a possibility along the 101 corridor.
Yeah.
So, blighted property options.
That was an issue that that we wanted to chat a little bit about. It kind of relates to the issue that we talked about earlier in South Beach. One of the complaints we get are a number of the facilities that are on the 101 on the approach coming into Newport that are not in the city but on county lands. And we had talked a bit to Wayne about that, and I don't know if you got a chance to.
Well, here's what I did do. I was looking at the bigger picture rather than the individual properties. I didn't actually get to look at those. And I'll follow up with Derek and Spencer and look at individual properties and issues out there. You know, we don't have a lot of tools to deal with. We have tools to deal with issues when there's a health issue and when there's certain kinds of solid waste issues. But dilapidated buildings is not something we can deal with very well, you know, in terms of our own current code provisions out there. What we do have, though, is some tools, and we're looking at participating in kind of broader picture issues of redevelopment of underutilized properties. And so we are actually participating, as is the city right now, in seeking a grant, for instance, that it will address brownfield issues. And we're looking at properties inside the city and inside. Actually, it's a fairly defined area, I'd say the central core of the county, mostly. We're not going north, and we're not going too far south. And, you know, I don't know what the availability of that funding will be in the future on a federal level, but at least we're very competitive right now. We applied for it once before, and we're applying again. And there's actually an inventory going on, I think currently right now, it's still going on, if I'm right, Derek, to actually identify some of these properties. And, you know, it's an interesting definition. One of the things I learned when they were talking about brownfields is that it's not just what you think of as an old hazardous, like an old mill site. It actually is underutilized and undeveloped properties that can be identified, we can do some analysis and assessment of these properties and then move towards redevelopment of those underutilized properties. That's one thing. The other thing is you've got a key component that will deal with these city properties, and that's urban renewal. That's really the purpose of urban renewal. So you're looking at redeveloping some of the underutilized and not fully utilized properties right now. Inside the city, that's another tool we can look at. But it is a difficult problem on an individual property. And we don't really have the tools to do that, although we can kind of work certain angles. Again, if there's solid waste issues, if there's health issues, those kinds of things, we can try and address those.
So I believe in South Beach, some of our urban renewal district does cover some unincorporated areas as well, according to some of the boundaries. Is that correct there?
Yeah.
It probably doesn't cover the properties we were.
I know, but I'm saying it.
Not sure.
When you say urban renewal, there can be an opportunity for urban renewal to actually also encompass county property.
Yeah.
Yep.
Depending on the boundary of the urban renewal districts.
Right.
So I'm saying.
Right.
Okay. I think we've got through the agenda. We've got 3 minutes left. Is there anyone here from the public that'd like to